We'll move on to a presentation by Dr. Mia Miller, winner of the Neurotology Fellow Award for this year.
So today I'll be talking about hearing preservation and vestibular schwannoma, how intracochlear flare signal relates to hearing level. I'd like to thank my co-authors and the ANS for the opportunity to present today. We have nothing to disclose. Oops. So hearing loss from vestibular schwannoma can occur from cochlear nerve compression, from restriction of blood supply to the cochlea, or from increased protein levels in the paralymph. Paralymphatic protein has been studied in animal models, such as the cat, in human temporal bones of patients with vestibular schwannoma, and in samples obtained from the translabyrinthine approach for excision of these tumors. In addition, Silverstein and Shuknik demonstrated elevated paralymphatic protein in patients with VS in vivo by labyrinthesis, although this has been abandoned due to risk of hearing loss. MRI fluid attenuated inversion recovery or FLAIR sequences can detect different fluid densities and so have been used to evaluate protein level intracochlearly. And in fact, increased cochlear FLAIR signal has been associated with other inner ear pathologies associated with hearing loss, such as sudden sensory neural hearing loss, where a high FLAIR signal denotes a poor prognosis for hearing recovery, cochlear otosclerosis, and labyrinthine fistula. So the question has been posed in the literature that if paralymphatic protein level is related to hearing level, can preoperative FLAIR images be used to provide prognostic information for patients with VS as far as hearing preservation after surgery? Our objectives were to evaluate the relationship between cochlear signal on FLAIR and hearing in patients undergoing hearing preservation surgery for VS, and to demonstrate a new classification system to be used in the imaging evaluation of these patients. Our study was approved by our IRB and involved a search of archived surgical cases for patients treated for VS between 2006 and 2012. We included patients who underwent hearing preservation surgery for excision of VS with preoperative MRI with FLAIR sequences, as well as preoperative and or postoperative audiograms. In our MRI imaging protocol and analysis, we divided the preoperative FLAIR sequences into two groups of patients. A senior neuroradiologist blinded to the audiometric data did this categorization, and they were categorized into limited hyperintensity and then extensive hyperintensity categories. LH images were those in which FLAIR signal was hypointense or isointense to the brainstem in the basal turn of the cochlea, and the middle and apical turns showed minimal FLAIR signal. And EH images were those in which FLAIR signal was isointense to the brainstem throughout the cochlea or hyperintense to the brainstem. Our audiologic assessment involved pure tone averages calculated from hearing level at 0.5, 1, 2, and 3 kilohertz and recording SDS scores. And our statistical analysis was done by comparing the average PTA and SDS for LH and EH groups with the Wilcoxon rank sum test, both preoperatively and postoperatively. And then the relationships between cochlear hyperintensity and preoperative PTA were further examined by a partial correlation analysis controlling for tumor size and gender. And we included gender because men in this study, in our group had an average worse PTA on presentation than did women. During this time period, we had 105 subjects who underwent a retrosigmoid approach, but 71 met our inclusion criteria with available studies for review. We had to exclude 16 because the cochlea was not well captured on FLAIR, and 4 were excluded in the postoperative analysis because the nerve was sectioned intraoperatively. This left us with 51 patients with a mean age of 51 years and a mean tumor size of 1.3 centimeters. This is an example of a limited hyperintensity image, and you can see in the inset here, this is the cochlea on the side affected with the vestibular schwannoma, and there's faint signal in the basal turn of the cochlea only, which may be projecting a little bit difficultly. Another example of a limited hyperintensity image, and you can see there's faint signal in the basal turn of the cochlea and a slight signal in the middle turn of the cochlea. This is an example of an extensive hyperintensity image, and in the inset you can see signal, FLAIR signal in the cochlea throughout all turns of the cochlea, apical, middle, and basal turns. And this is another extensive hyperintensity image where the cochlear signal was hyperintense to the brainstem. So these are our patient characteristics and preoperative hearing results. Tumor size in the LH group was 1.2 centimeters on average, and EH was 1.5 centimeters, but these were not statistically significantly different with a p-value of 0.23. Age was not significantly different between the two groups either with a p-value of 0.4. Preoperative PTA was significantly better in the LH group than the EH group with 29.5 dBPTA in the LH group and 40.6 in the EH group. And the p-value here was 0.04. And the preoperative SDS between the LH and the EH groups were not statistically significantly different. Our postoperative hearing analysis showed that PTA in the LH group trended towards superiority over PTA in the EH group, but that this p-value of 0.06 did not reach statistical significance. Our SDS values were not statistically significantly different between the two groups. We did a multivariate regression partial correlation analysis, controlling for tumor size and for gender. And the variables we are looking at are flare signal versus preoperative PTA. When we look at size as a continuous condition, we had a partial correlation coefficient of 0.27, and this trended towards significance but didn't reach it with a p-value of 0.06. But then we divided our patient population into those tumors greater than 1.2 centimeters and those less than 1.2, which was the median of our sizes. And we get a statistically significant value of 0.31 with a p-value of 0.03. And although this supports our univariate data, we would really like to see a multivariate analysis with a continuous size condition that is significant. The reason we couldn't do that is because we needed more power for our study. Our calculated post-hoc power was 47%, and this would require a minimum of 109 patients to reach 80% power. So cochlear signal on flare MRI sequences has been pursued as a marker for paralymphatic protein levels in VS patients. Lee in 2010 examined 3D flare images of 34 patients with VS and found that signal intensity of the affected cochlea was significantly increased as compared to the opposite side. Other authors have confirmed these results. Yamazaki in 2009 related cochlear medullary signal ratio to hearing level on post-contrast 3D flare images in 13 patients. But this correlation was only significant when both sides were analyzed, the unaffected side and the affected side, due to their power limitations. The current study suggests that flare is related to preoperative PTA, but that there is not a correlation of flare to postoperative hearing. We do have several limitations. We had a limited sample size, as I've said, and our standard 2D flare protocols are not optimized for cochlear analysis. They have 5 millimeter sections and so miss a lot of the cochlea. 16 subjects were excluded because flare sequences did not capture the ipsilateral cochlea, and the opposite cochlea was seen in only 14 subjects. We also used a qualitative approach, whereas other studies compare a region of interest with either the unaffected cochlea or the brainstem. We chose not to use the region of interest because it is subject to partial volume averaging and error contributed by other included anatomic components such as the spiral medialis and Reissner's membrane. However, a qualitative approach does have the problem of human error. So in conclusion, the current study demonstrates an association between cochlear signal on pre-contrast flare and pre-treatment hearing levels in patients with VS, but it remains unclear if paralymphatic protein levels are of prognostic significance for hearing preservation. Future studies should involve MRI of the IAC that include 2D flare with finer section slices or converting to the routine use of 3D flare. Thank you.